We're going to read just something real quick there, and then we'll turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark 3. I'm going to find the exact verse I want there. Okay, we got it. So let's stand on our feet, please. We'll be just a few verses here. Mark chapter 3, and we're going to read just a little bit of verse 1. Mark chapter 3, and a little bit of verse 1. All right. I want to say, and he entered again. Where was he? All right, that's very important, okay? Very important. Now turn over to Mark chapter 5. And verse 22. All right. So we know that Jesus was where? In the synagogue. You say, what is a synagogue? On Saturdays, the Jewish people would meet every Saturday in what we would consider church is their synagogue. So they met in that place on a weekly basis on Saturday. And Jesus healed somebody on a day that they felt he should never do things of that nature. So now we're at Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the, now read this with me, rulers of the, you follow me? So he was there. He was there. If you read Mark 3, 4, and 5, you will see that Jesus has now come back to this place where he was in Mark chapter 3, and Jairus was there. Let's keep on reading now. Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched me? Or who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, don't you see the multitude thronging thee? And saith thou, who touched me? Don't you see all these people that were here all this time pushing you? How in the world would you say, who touched me? And looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. But the story really wasn't supposed to be about her. So Mark has to go back and go, wait a minute. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I want to preach to you this morning on a subject I feel is very important. Interruptions. Interruptions. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, what we're about to receive is so critical to our faith in you. Because if we're honest, many people are frustrated with you. Many people are upset with you. Many people don't understand why things happen. Why they feel forsaken, why they feel forgotten. So we need you, oh God, to allow yourself to be revealed to us so strong that our faith would soar so much higher and above, oh God, the daily and constant interruptions to our lives. I need you to speak to hearts, God, not me. I need you to reveal yourself, oh God, to us once again. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord as you are seated here in the house of God. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Interruptions. 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 Interruptions are one of the most disruptive force of momentum. Interruptions. Interruptions, as defined by the Free Dictionary, is to break the continuity or uniformity, to stop someone who is engaged in an activity by saying or doing something. It is interruptions that have caused many to be broken and discouraged. Interruptions have caused many people to lose hope. Interruptions have caused many to turn away from continued faith in God. This is a serious story in the Word of God that I believe have been overlooked, but can be a key breaking point and something inside of us as it relates to what we feel are interruptions. The majority time when the scripture is read, we are focused on the woman with the issue of blood. And Lord knows we have preached our heart out in that verse. And I promise you, I will preach that again, rest assured. But at the same time, interruptions happen. Someone say amen. Interruptions are things that slow down and hinder the progress that we have made in our lives. Now, what I mean by progressive or being progressive people, when I say progressive, I'm speaking of realizing that we can admit that we have had many struggles and issues before we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Before we came and put our faith in Jesus Christ and came to a place where we repent and turn away from our sins and become born again by being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In fact, more specifically, before we put our faith in Him, before we said we would walk with Him with true desire and truly commit to Him, we did have previous encounters with Him. Follow me. Yes, most of us did not come to Jesus the first time we encountered Him. I can say a vast majority of us did not come to an altar the first time you heard His name. We have got to a place where we, when we encountered Him the first time, it was an encounter of a conflict, not encounters of acceptance and belief in Him. They were encounters of skepticism. I'm not going to church with a whole bunch of hypocrites, which real quick, allow me to say something about hypocrites in the church. Let me borrow some comments real quick from our brother Wideman, who came and preached here a few years ago. Hypocrites are not exclusively in the church. We get so caught up with that cliche, oh, I can't go to church, there's so many hypocrites in church. There are so many more hypocrites in the world, at your job, backbiters, all those evil people scheming behind your back. Don't you come in here and say there's hypocrites in the church like there's no hypocrites in the world. Go to your local gym. There's plenty of hypocrites right there as well. Go to the supermarket. Plenty of hypocrites there. All over Hollywood, there are plenty of hypocrites here in the world. It's not exclusive in the house of God. Throw that out. Let me go back to what I was first saying, though, about our first encounters with Christ. They were encounters of resistance, though we felt the pull, though something in us did not feel that we should stay where we were, but we weren't ready yet to follow Him. We still had some things that we liked to do, and being a part of this Christian faith or being a disciple meant that there might have to be some changes that have to take place in my life. And so I know what I feel is real, but I'm not ready to commit myself full and wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ just yet.
I may not be able to cover everyone's mindset the first time you encountered Jesus, but I did want you to think about that for a moment, about that first encounter with Jesus, not the first time you actually said yes, just that first glimmer of who this Savior was. Did you come the first time you felt his draw? Did you come and say yes the first time you heard the preached word of God? So now on to progression. I will attempt to communicate this as we look at the story. We are reading Mark's account of what took place, which most scholars tell you come from the testimonies he received from the Apostle Peter, who was the eyewitness to this particular scene. And here goes the scene. Jairus comes to Jesus. He came himself. He didn't send a servant ahead of him. He did not send a messenger because the situation that he was in was so grave. It was a matter of life and death. And Sister Barlow, you can go back with me to the prophecy that you received concerning how sick you would be in your second pregnancy. Let me take you back to the day when a little bit after, was it Devin who was born who had all kind of tubes in his body? It was Devin. And to see your child, to see your son, barely even a week old with tubes in his body, barely able to breathe, and you see the suffering that he had to face, and you knew that this was a grave and a very serious situation. Now, I'm not trying to elevate it above what it was. He was not literally going to die at that moment, but the picture of seeing a helpless child would break anybody's heart when they're suffering in that manner. And you have no control over it. The only thing you can do is be there. But being there, you know it's not enough. And there's something inside of your heart and in your spirit that weeps inside. And you're saying, Lord, you got to do something about it. And here we have a man who has a daughter who was 12 years old, and she was sick, but she was not just any kind of sick. She was literally on her last breath. She was on her deathbed. She could go at any moment, and they probably said, Jairus, you need to stay back because she can leave this earth while you leave this house. Don't you think you should send somebody else? But he said, the situation that I am in is so serious. I got to go. My whole world is falling apart. I mean, this is someone so precious and dear to him. It was his little girl, the sweet, innocent little girl on her deathbed. Imagine the suffering he had to see his young daughter suffer so much. Have you ever had a child in your life that was so sick and you couldn't do anything about it? Sister Deborah, you know, and we thank God for how far Gabriel has come and what God is still going to do. But we were there many times in that hospital. We saw how he had the tubes in his body and the hole in his chest. Now he laid there and how he had to lose his hair. And you just saw the pain he was in when he would cry, Mommy. And we would pull and we would cry. And we would say, Lord, please be there for Gabriel. Look at the suffering he's dealing with. And oh, thank God. But right in the middle of it, it's painful. In the middle of it, it hurt so much. Imagine how he felt having to leave her because he knew he had to go get help. Would she even be able, would he ever be able to speak to her before he got his answer? Imagine how desperate he was, how broken he was. He said in his spirit, she could die any minute. So the most likely attitude and the condition of Jairus when he came to Jesus is found in verse 22. He came when he saw Jesus and he fell at his feet. And it said, behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Why did he fall at his feet? It wasn't just your usual humble person. It was about more than what the story tells us, more than what meets the eye. You see, it was something to do with his past. Why he fell it necessary to come and humble himself and bow down. You say, Pastor Barlow, what in the world are you saying? I'm taking you back to know that the Bible gave his specific name. It says it's Jairus. The Bible tells us his name. We are not looking someone who is a random person in the Word of God with no detail and insight about him. His name is important because most times the Bible just gives generalities concerning people in the Bible. The Lord does wonderful things for many, and it says somebody was healed. Somebody God did a great thing for. Somebody was cast, a demon was cast out, but there is no true identity upon that person. A paralytic was healed, the came to Jesus, no identity of that person. But yet we find here that the Bible gives his name specifically. Why? That sounds familiar. A disciple says, Jairus, what is that name? Heard that name before. Wait a minute, I know who he is. Jesus, you had an encounter with him before. Send him away, they could have said. We don't want anything to do with him. Thomas asked, well, why? He didn't recognize him yet. Oh, that's right. Thaddeus chimes in. We have met him before. Yes, remember when we were in the synagogue the other day? And Philip says, yes, I remember. Mark 3, verse 1. And he entered the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, I want you to stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked around about them with anger, everyone in that place except his disciples were angry about what he was about to do. And Jesus, being grieved for the hardness of the heart, said to them, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. And the Pharisees and the rulers went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy Jesus. And mark my words, the rulers of the synagogues were right a part of that, because they wanted to be a part of the in crowd, the Pharisees, rather than a part of the right crowd, Jesus. So at that moment, Jairus was rejecting Jesus. At that first encounter, Jairus said no to Jesus. Jesus, we find, was healing somebody who was sick. And Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, maybe it was a few days ago or weeks ago, he was a part of that group that began to take counsel with the Herodians. Why now is he asking for Jesus' help? You see, the first encounter that he had with Jesus, he had no need for Jesus at that point in time. His first encounter with Jesus, he was with the in crowd. His life was just fine. He was not necessarily desperate for God to do anything in his life. A time when his current life was comfortable and everything was all together. He had everything that he wanted in his life at that particular time. And in the natural realm, it shows he's in a cool position. So when Jesus comes the first time, Jesus, you'll mess everything up. The Pharisees are against you, so I got to be against you too. But now, you're changing my belief system. You're challenging my belief system. You're stirring things up, and you're going to make my world uncomfortable. I'm not ready for that yet. Oh, yes, but now I have a real need in my life. I'm ready to progress and put my faith, which he did. And he said, my daughter is at the point of death. And so this time around, I'm calling on you. If you would lay your hands on my situation, if you would move and have mercy upon me, that's why I come with a humble spirit and I fall on my face. I know what I was the first time I encountered you, but now, God, if you're more than able to meet my need, I humbly ask you, and I'm desperate, Lord, meet my need. And what did Jesus do? He ignored the negative disciples around him and say, I don't care how your first encounter was with me, my grace is sufficient for you, my mercy is still here. And though there have been times in your life when you have rejected Jesus, if a need comes in your life and you gotta come to Jesus, if you humble yourself, can I tell you, Jesus is going with you. Jesus is going to meet your need. Jesus is going to say, it's all right. I still want to be there for you, even though you first rejected me. So stay with me right here where I'm going. I know without a doubt you are who you say you are. And so there was a progression. My first encounter with you, Jesus, may not have been the right one. I now progress in my faith in you. When he saw how sick his daughter was, he knew where to go. And there's nothing wrong with that. There might be some times in your life where you realize the only direction I have to go is toward the man named Jesus. In all of our lives, there will come a point where we have to turn from our ways and begin to go towards the one we know has the answer. So what are you doing? You're saying, I believe in you, Lord. I'm going to start coming to the house of God. I believe in you, Lord. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start worshiping. I'm going to start doing things that show my faith that I am a true believer. I'm making my way to Jesus. I'm not letting anybody substitute it come in and do it for me. I will come and worship him for myself. I will come and give him my best. I will come and honor him. I have chosen and made a decision to follow Jesus. Is anybody in that place right now where you're saying, I'm choosing to go before him and worship him and surrender to him? And Jesus sees that faith, and he's ready to have compassion, ready to turn some more things around in a life, ready to do great things because someone has progressed and put their faith in him. So he says, okay, Lord, thank you so much, but let's hurry. I need you to meet this need right now, Lord. Lord, I'm glad that you said yes to me now, and I want to progress, and I got a serious need in my life. I need you to make some changes right now in my life. Jesus says, okay, let's go. In the middle of our progression, in the middle of feeling more of God's power, in the middle of things looking like they're getting better and better, so long as I'm walking with Jesus. I mean, think about the excitement that the one I saw a few weeks ago allowed somebody's man hand who was withered came in and was able to be stretched out. I know he can touch my daughter. I know he can make a way in my life. I know he can do a work inside of me. And now he's coming, and we're growing, and we're progressing, and things are getting better in my walk with God. Is anybody hear what I'm saying? Things are getting better since you made a choice to follow him. And while he's making his way in your life, an interruption happens. You've been making strides. You've been making progress. Things are looking well in your household, in your mind, in your spirit. And you know you made a wonderful decision to go get Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I'm glad you're with me. I'm glad we're growing. I'm glad things are happening. But let's get moving. There's still a need I need you to meet right now in my life. And Jesus says, all right. But then there's an interruption. There's something that goes on in your life. There's somebody, like the woman with the issue of blood, and she interrupts his progress to go heal his daughter. Am I talking to anybody here today that you've been going through good things in God, and you've been progressing with God, and your faith has increased in God, but in the middle of it, something else interrupts it? A phone call. A sickness that moves in, something that happens on the job, a person that moves in your life, someone that forsakes you, things are going, something that didn't work out that you thought should work out, but you've been walking with God and you've been progressing with God and you thought things would be better now that you got the attention of God, but in the middle of all that, something has interrupted. Something has put you on hold and you're standing still. And what happens is many times while you're standing still and while you have needs in your life, somebody else is getting blessed. You need answers, but you're on pause and somebody else is getting an answer right next to you. But you got to Jesus first. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody. So somebody that you said you've done all the right things. You turned from your ways. You followed after him. You forgot about the Pharisees and what they had to say about it. And now you know that Jesus is real. He's alive. He's been helping you. But God, there's one thing I need you to do. God says in a service, in a message, in an altar somewhere, in a song, I'm going to do it. And you're excited about what God's about to do. And then he stops. and there's an interruption. How do we deal with interruptions? You know what Jairus could have done? He could have saw Jesus being interrupted, and got offended, and walked away. I knew he was that kind of God. I knew it was that kind of church. Get you all hoped up, hyped up, and then leave you. Because that interruption is getting in the way of my faith. Me being on pause is getting in the way of my faith. And Jairus could have walked away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know I'm not yelling and screaming as I normally do. And who knows, I may get to that point. But there's something deep. I need some men and women of God to understand that there might be some times where you feel like there is an interruption in the middle of me getting my answer, an interruption. I thought I was going to get my whatever, and then an interruption. I thought my answer was about to come, and then an interruption. Everything was going well, and then I hear about something crazy going on in my family. I get a call about my health. Things are going on. I don't even understand. I thought you were coming to help me, and now you have stopped because someone else touched you and virtue left your body, and now everything that I'm trying to have happen in my life, you stop and you take care of them. Why do I feel this way? Why am I in this position? I told you it was urgent. I told you I needed it now when I came to you and I humbled myself. But someone else was just as desperate. Someone else who has gone through something for years felt this was their opportunity. But the problem is, I hate to be upset with them, but it's an interruption of my blessing. While he yet spake to the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says in Mark 5:35, while he spake, there came from the ruler of synagogue's house a certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why are you troubling the master anymore? And here you are with all the hope in the world, all the progression in the world, all the momentum in the world. And then while God is meeting your need, he stops meeting it for some reason. And all of a sudden people around you are being blessed. But then the thing you need dies. The miracle you needed does not happen. The pain you have continues. Oh, the pain that must jolted in his body when he heard it. In his heart, in his mind. I knew this would happen if I didn't hear fast enough. I knew this would happen, God, if you didn't answer it on my time clock. There was an interruption, and someone can be broken in the middle of someone else's blessing. Someone can be broken in the middle of someone else's breakthrough. Someone can be in tragedy while someone is in their triumph. We see it here in the story. And just for a moment, the world stopped because of an interruption. But Jesus allowed this to happen because he knew even in this house, you have put your faith in him and he has progressed you. But then there's something going on right now in your life that's causing you to lose hope and causing you to lose faith and causing you to lose trust. And God says, I'm still allowing it to happen. I'm allowing you to be interrupted, Jairus, because what I need you to see is that I am the resurrection and I am the life. There might be resurrections. I mean, there might be interruptions sometimes in your life, but I'm trying to help you understand that interruptions cannot stop the power of God. That if I told you I was going to do something, I don't care who interrupts me. I don't care who gets their blessings. I'm still going to your house, Jairus. And the Bible says immediately when Jesus heard that, he didn't sit back there quietly. Jesus stepped in and said, don't give up just yet because there was an interruption. Didn't I tell you I'm going to your house? Didn't I say I'm coming your way? Now, I don't care how dead she is. I will raise her up. Can I tell somebody in this house, you got interruptions. You think your marriage is a far gone conclusion. I tell you no, by the authority of the word of God, Jesus is still coming. I want to tell somebody who's sick in your body, Jesus is still coming to your house. Jesus is still going to make a way. He said, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Because you know what God has to say? I need my word to trump the negative words you've been listening. Negative words will come in one ear, but you got to be ready to hear what Jesus had to say. The Bible specifically says, as soon as Jesus heard the word, Jesus is the word. And Jesus says, I want you to know that my word will trump any negative word, even if it comes out of your own mouth. I got to say that again. The majority of our negative words is not always the people around us. Sometimes our negative words come from the person in the mirror, and the Lord is saying, you got a word, I got a word too. As soon as I hear a negative word, I'm going to put my word in somebody. If you want your deliverance and your miracle, I don't care when it comes. I can't answer that question. But what you have to do is hold on to the word of God that he gives you in the middle of your inner. Am I preaching to anybody here in this place? I know you got some things that in the natural tell you it's too late. God says, well, I come with a word. He said, do not be afraid, only believe. That means fear and doubt. You have to depart and get out, because I choose to say my God is more than able to turn some dead stuff around. My God is more than able. Can I make it plain? God is not limited by the interruptions in your life. In fact, God will use every, oh, you ain't hear me this morning. God will use every bit of interruption to show you it ain't gonna phase me. My word does not change. If I said I'm coming to heal your body, then by my stripes, you're already healed. If I come to deal with your mind, then I don't care what goes on in your mind, I'm gonna change it around. You know what Jesus was saying? Don't you listen to what you just heard. In fact, I'm telling you, don't listen to all the facts. They are facts. She was dead. They weren't lying. You're not lying. You got problems. You're not lying. You got issues. You're not lying. You're in some dire straits. We try to be honest here. Y'all know this church is not a perfect people's club. Mm-mm. We got some messed up folk here. But we serve a mighty God. We serve a good God. And I might be in a position where I hear the words of negativity. And I might be in a position where there's a whole bunch of negative facts. There's a whole bunch of things that tell me I'm down, I'm out, it's too late. And God says, oh, don't believe that word. Believe that I'm able to come in and turn dead stuff around. It can be actual fact. But when my word comes in, if it's black and I want it white, if I say it's white, it turns white. Why? The power of God's word is over any interruption that might be going on in your life. So what happened is, he says, I only want Peter, James, and John. And he gets there, and there's a great tumult happening in verse 38. And them that wept and wailed greatly. There will always be people around that only can see the worst case scenario. And they're weeping and they're mourning because for them, it's just too late. And so I'm just being honest. It's too late. We got to cry. We got to weep. We got to complain. We have to worry. Don't you see the natural circumstances? And Jesus says, y'all can't stay here. If I'm going to do a miracle, I got to get amongst the people like Peter, James, and John that just know I am God. Even when all impossible things are around me, I'm not negating how hard it is for you. I'm not down. Playing it. I'm just uplifting the name of God. And that's what we need to stop doing. Stop making like it's fake. It is real. But when you say it's real, say my God is more real.
Come on, you got to say it. When there's pain in your mind and pain in your body, don't keep on weeping and wailing. The Lord says, y'all got to go. You can't stay here, because when my miracle shows up, it will be among people that already knew I had the power to do it. Oh, did you hear what I said? If God go work a miracle in your life, you can't mix prayer and doubt at the same time. Is that not the word? He said, it says, why make you this ado? He said. Okay, I gotta make it plain. We think that's just for those people in that scripture. It don't apply to. We come to church, we hear it, and we go, that's not really me. That's them in Mark 5:39. And that's why we keep missing it. We think it's not us. I'm telling you, as plain as I can, this is you. You gotta say, this is me. I am making this ado. All right, let me explain that. He shows up, he's there, he's present, he's with them physically in body. And they're making all this ado. They keep on crying, though he's there. They keep on whining and complaining and speaking negative words. They keep on highlighting how bad it is. They keep on saying how bad it is, how bad it is, how bad it is, how bad it is. Now, he said, why are you? And we'll say me. Say, not my neighbor. Me. I keep making ado about this, that, and the other. I keep on doing it. I worship God in one sentence and make ado in the next. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? Why? He asking us a question. Why do we keep doing this? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Is the Bible contradictory? Wasn't she dead? But Jesus just said she's not. In his mind, how he sees it, how he perceives it, he perceives beyond the natural. And he's trying to get us to perceive beyond what we see in the natural. So why are you making this ado? Because your home's upside down. It's not dead. It's only sleeping. If I show up and touch it, it's going to live. So are you going to focus on how dead it is or how alive I am? The Lord is trying to teach us, yes, it looks bad, but you're looking at the wrong person. It is bad. But look unto me and be ye saved. It is difficult. So get your eyes off the things that are dead and get your eyes on the one who just walked in the building. And if I am here, then she's not dead. She is sleeping. And next verse 40, this is what we do too. This ain't the Bible. This is us too. That's why a lot of us are not shouting and claiming our miracle right now. Not saying that you have to do that. But there has to come a point when you just believe. And there will be something that is evidenced by your belief system. Their belief system showed their unbelief, so they laughed. Because they, you know, you get that nervousness when you laugh. She is dead. And they laughed in the scorn. So when he had put them all out, one of my first messages I heard here in Missouri was from Brother, I can't remember his name right now. He's the youth leader for the kids, for the Sherry, Donnie Sharon. And he said, when doubting parts, shouting starts. I said, it wasn't fresh for me, it was him. when doubting departs, he said, he had to put all them out. Some of you got to start putting some stuff out. And until you put stuff out, you're not getting your victory. But when doubting gets put out, shouting starts. Because once he put the doubt out, he was able to say, Talitha Kumi, which means damsel, I say, I speak unto you, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12. And there was great astonishment, not in the room. There was no astonishment, because if Jesus is in the house and I believe his word and I remove doubt, there ain't nothing that can happen except for you to rise up in faith and know your God is able. Can I tell somebody right now, there might be interruptions, but it's time for you to get doubt out so your shouting can start. It's time to say, Lord, I just believe, and I will do it by my words. I will stop making this ado, and I will start trusting in you. Your words prove it. So I close with this. It seemed like it's too late, but she arose. It seemed like that God's attention is on other things. She still arose. She understood by her being raised up that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, nothing is too hard. I want you to stand on your feet here this morning. Interruptions are absolutely annoying. But Jesus gives hope in the middle of your interruptions. What are interruptions that are going on right now in your life? What has been turned around in your life? What's upsetting you right now in your life? He's saying, don't allow interruption to cause you to lose your faith in the ability. Yes. Hallelujah. And the authority I have to perform a miracle. Hallelujah. You may have had interruptions in your finances, interruptions in your body, interruptions in complacency and other things getting in the way, and you feel forgotten here this morning. I'm here to give you the word of God. Don't worry about the interruptions. Jesus can speak a word in your life. If you want God to speak that word into your life and give you another word on top of the negative word you just heard, from either yourself or anybody else, raise your hands right now. As soon as Jesus heard those negative words, Jesus said, believe. 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 And let's keep on walking towards your victory. Let's keep on walking towards your house. Let's keep on walking towards that thing that you heard just died. And I'm going to show you that it still can live. But we have to keep on walking the right way and believing the right things. And then we will say the right words. Lift your hands again. I want to minister to somebody right now. You've been suffering. You've been suffering, and it's real suffering. It's real. The pain is real. The mental attacks are real. The negative vibes you feel are real. The hopelessness feels real. It feels dead. And you feel powerless. And what makes it worse is you were doing good. That's what makes it that much more difficult. Things were starting to look up finally. Things were working together. Things were coming into place. But then that thing, it's come up so strong in your mind, so strong in your body, and you're weary of it. And you're saying, why? Why is there interruptions to my miracle? I want to tell you right now in the Holy Ghost, Jesus is coming.
Jesus is still coming. Jesus is still going to heal your body. Jesus is going to restore your mind. Jesus is going to repair the brokenness. Jesus is going to restore your home. Jesus is bringing back your backslider. Jesus is renewing your fire. Jesus is restoring your ministry and renewing your anointing. And your faith is about to offer the Holy Ghost in this house. Jesus is about to remove some stuff and kick some stuff out to take you to a new level in Him. Hey, somebody, maybe your first encounter, your first mindset was not right, but today Jesus is still coming. Jesus is still gonna wonder working power in your life. Come on and give Him glory right now, like you believe it. Come on and worship Him for what He's going to do in your life. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. If you believe that, come on down to this altar right now. We're going to speak one more prophetic word unto God. I want you to stand on your feet, if you would. Just stand on your feet. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Come on, I got to let you know you are your people with authority here today. Come on, squeeze in. Move in close. Move in close. We're going to release them in the Holy Ghost. We're going to release them in the Holy Ghost. I want you to raise your hand under Him right now. Close your eyes and focus on Him. Get your eyes right now as best you can off your problem and on your master. Your master is a solution. No matter what you're dealing with, if your eyes are on Him, He say, come on, I'll take you by your hand and I will lead you to the promise. And as we go, as we are on our way, we will kick some people out. We will move some down out of the way. I'm going to show you, even though there's interruptions, I'm going to perform my promise for your life. I know right now it's a headache. I know right now things are in the way. I know things right now are frustrating you, but I promise you I'm coming. I promise you I'm going to work it out. I promise you I'm going to touch you like I never touched you before. I'm going to make a way when there is no way. Now I want you to open your mouth and say, I believe it. Come on, say, I believe it. Now, if you're the Holy Ghost, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. So instead of doubt, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Instead of fear, pray in the Holy Ghost. Instead of claiming that thing, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. My miracle will happen. I pray in the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives hope. The Spirit will break every chain. It will live. Come on, the anointing of God's on you. You've been praying a long time and you don't see the answer. I'm going to tell you, it's on its way. It's coming. Don't turn around. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't be offended. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming now, your dwelling. He's coming to your home. He's coming to your need. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. You'll change my mind. You'll change my mind. I believe. I believe. Come on, it's not too late. I know there's been interruptions in your mind. I know there's been interruptions in your relationships. Oh,
Oh, but he's coming to work it out. He's coming to restore some broken things. He's coming to heal areas that you cannot heal by yourself. But I tell you, he's coming. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, God. Da, 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 da. My mind is going to a new level. My mind is full of faith. My mind is on you. You, Jesus. That's it. Some stuff is coming out. Some stuff has to go. Some stuff has to be removed. In the name of Jesus, my mind belongs to him. My mind and my purpose about Jesus.
Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice embrace.
He cares so much. He's not done with you yet. He might have paused it, but he's not done yet. He still has a work. He still has a miracle yet to do. He still has some answers yet to do. And to make a way, he's going to do it. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him energize you right now. There's a hope for you. Hey, there have been interruptions, but he's Lord, he's God, he's in control.
To my knees as I lift my hands to praise.